It would be difficult indeed to find a topic more vital to the gospel than the topic taken up in this book, Christ alone, the uniqueness of Jesus as Savior. I'm Fred Zaspel, executive editor here at Books at a Glance, and today we're talking again to the author of this important new book, Dr. Stephen Wellam, professor of systematic theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, longtime friend of us here at Books at a Glance. Steve, welcome back. Always great to talk to you.
Great to be with you, Fred.
Okay, summarize for us. What is the significance of the mantra, Christ alone?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the, you know, one of the five solas of the Reformation that we come to summarize Reformation doctrine. And it's an interesting expression, Christ alone, because you have to think through it a little bit, because in the Reformation, the Reformers, as well as the Roman Catholic Church, held in common much in terms of the doctrine of the Trinity, the person of Christ. I mean, they were all Chalcedonian in their Christology. Christ is God the Son incarnate, fully God, fully man. So that when you say Christ alone, when you think of our own day, you think of his exclusivity, his utter uniqueness in an age of pluralism. Well, that wasn't the case in the Reformation period. So then you have to say, well, what does Christ alone really getting at? And I think it's at that point that we really are turning to Christ's work and the application of his work to the believer. And what the Reformers were arguing is that Christ is not only unique and exclusive Lord and Savior, that he's the Son of God from eternity, who's become flesh, but he's done a work that is sufficient, is enough, that there's nothing to be added to it. And of course, now this is beginning to go against the sacramentalism of the Roman Catholic Church, where they're affirming, really Anselm's view of the atonement. Christ satisfies God's wrath. He pays for our sin, yet in its application to us, there's the role of the church. Christ's death will remove our eternal sins, but as we sin, there needs to be coming back to the church, receiving the sacraments of the church, penance, the Mass, an ongoing forgiveness. It's not Christ alone in his all-sufficient work that's enough. And of course, then that spills over into other areas such as faith alone and then justification and so on.
Yeah.
So that's really what at the key of Christ alone, his all-sufficient work, this unique Lord and Savior. They held that in common, yet his work is enough for us. There's nothing to be added to it. It's to be received with the empty hands of faith, and then our lives are lived in faith union with Christ.
Yeah, let's follow up on that just a little bit. How does this sola, Solus Christus, relate to the others? And what I have in mind there is, what's the connection between Christ alone on the one hand, and then on the other, grace alone, faith alone on the other?
Yeah, I think, I mean, again, all of the five solas are interrelated, interconnected. You can't have sort of one without the other. So, of course, everything is grounded first in the authority base. I mean, how do we even say anything about salvation, about who God is ourselves apart from God's revelation of himself, so sola scriptura. But then as you move from the authority base, you think of faith alone. Well, what's faith alone getting at? Well, it's not faith plus what we bring in terms of our works or through the sacramental system of the church, coming back to receive forgiveness through the mediation of the church. It's faith alone in Christ alone. So the object of our faith is Christ alone. And of course, that goes then back to Solus Christus, where Christ alone has, in his person and work, done everything necessary to pay for our sin, to forgive us, to bring us all the blessings of the new covenant. I mean, ours in him. And then, of course, all of that is by grace alone. So we don't receive it apart from God's initiation from beginning to end. So he provides, from eternity past in terms of obviously our election, but in provision of the Redeemer, he alone does the work for us. He is the obedient Son who obeys on our behalf. And of course, this then gets tied into justification, the active obedience of Christ, his death on the cross, paying for our sin, passive obedience. And we receive that in faith, repentance and faith, conversion by faith alone, in Christ alone. And so all of them are wound, brought together, giving us the object of the faith in Christ and all that he's done for us.
Very good. So because Christ alone does the work that saves, it can be received by grace alone, and because by grace alone can be taken by faith alone, and after all of that, only God can receive the glory for it.
Yep, that's exactly right. And so I do think at the center of the soul is obviously at the heart of the Christian faith is the triune God in sovereign grace bringing about, his own purposes, including our salvation. And at the center of that is the work of the second person of the Godhead, Christ alone, not independent of the Father or Spirit, but he's the one who becomes our mediator. He's the one who becomes incarnate. He's the one who stands on our behalf, and we receive all of that by faith alone, grace alone, in Christ alone. You think of union with Christ, that brings all of that together for us.
Okay, you've mentioned how this clashed in the Reformation period with Roman Catholic sacramentalism. Can you explain that, flesh that out a little bit more for us? How is this the point of issue with them? What was the sacramentalism, the idea of it, and how it clashed with this principle of Christ alone?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the Roman Catholic view, I mean, when we talk about sacraments, I mean, that's a perfectly fine term. In certain circles, we call the sacraments ordinances, reduced to two from the seven of the Roman Catholic Church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. But in Scripture, and obviously in the Reformation, there are differences over baptism and the Lord's Supper, but they were not viewed in a kind of the Latin phrase ex opere operato, in the sense of by the work performed, that they weren't that which conveyed grace to us. And so in the Roman Catholic, through the mediation of the Church, and they would say that Christ has established the Church to be his incarnation, Christ's incarnation on earth, that the means, grace is given through the operations of the Church. So the hierarchy of the Church has authority, as you come to it, to dispense grace to you, and through them the seven sacraments, beginning with very early in life, baptism, all the way through to death. Christ has paid for our sin, yet we have ongoing sin in terms of our daily lives that need to be then dealt with in penance, in receiving the sacraments, the washing away of our sins. Of course, this is where it gets tied in with justification. Justification isn't just the declaration that we are in Christ. Christ alone has obeyed for us. He has paid for our sin. We are declared in faith union with him righteous, even though we are still being sanctified and glorified. But the verdict of the judge is that we are righteous in Christ. Well, in the Roman Catholic view, it's, well, we are becoming righteous. We are in Christ, we're tied to the Church, but there's sort of sanctification and justification blended, and this is where it's not alone Christ, it's Christ plus then the work of the Church, and or coming to the Church, the sacraments received from the Church. And so there's a big difference between Reformation teaching at this point, even though there's differences among the Reformers, and then the Roman Catholic Church that then undercuts the sole sufficiency of Christ alone. So we don't come through mediators. We don't come through, even the sacraments don't convey grace to us in the sense of saving grace to us or transforming grace to us. The Reformers would have held to a means of grace. They are part of our growth and sanctification, yet we receive them by faith. We receive them in relation to Christ. All that he has done for us is enough. And so there are some of the differences that the Reformers would have with then the Roman Catholic system.
Mm-hmm. And how is this doctrine important in our own context today? Obviously, Christ alone is vital to every age, but are there challenges to it today that need specific addressing?
Yeah, I mean, I think in our own day, living now in the 21st century, it's not exactly the same as the Reformation. There's a sense in which there's nothing new under the sun, right? So the same old issues show up over and over again. We have to be reminded of that. I think one of the challenges we face, and I think the Reformers began to face this a little bit at the end of the Reformation, and then it began to take full bloom in the later Enlightenment, and it's sort of come into our own day, is that there was an undercutting of the entire Christian worldview, right? So at the end of the Reformation, you had the Socinians, you had those denying the Trinity. Well, now we're not just in sort of a Catholic-Protestant debate. We're in, in whether Christianity is at all true. And today, that's blossomed into a full-blown pluralism. So when we affirm Christ alone, first we must say to people, Christ alone is Lord and Savior. There's no other Savior. There's no other way to be right with God. There's only one view of God who's true, and there's the Christian view is true over against other religious views. Christ is exclusively Lord and Savior. And then, of course, as it also applies, we have the same issues today as you would in the Reformation, right? So people may affirm Christ's exclusivity over against, say, a pluralism, yet there's always the tendency to add our own sufficiency, our own works, even in evangelical circles. It's not Christ has done everything necessary. It's our works that we may bring. I mean, there's lots of confusion, as there was in the Reformation period, as there was in first century, where Paul's dealing with Judaizers. All of that continues today. So Christ alone is, for us, the exclusivity, the uniqueness of Christ, plus an all-sufficient work. He is all that we need. There's nothing more that can be added to him. So even in our growth in our Christian lives, it's ultimately by grace. It's ultimately in relation to Christ. It's ultimately by faith alone, by grace alone in him, and by the power of the Spirit. But all of those are areas where it has to be applied to us today in our local churches and in our lives as Christians.
Very good. All right, so far we've talked about the topic. Let's talk about your book. Give us a brief overview of your book so that the readers can know what to expect.
Yeah, well, initially, in introduction, trying to, this is in the context of the five solas books that Zondervan has put out in honor of, in remembrance of the 500th year of the Reformation now in 2017. And so the book deals with some historical elements, deals with current defense elements. So I begin with introduction, just the role of Christ alone in terms of the solas. We then spend time establishing from the storyline of Scripture Christ's exclusivity and uniqueness, because that's important in our day, and work through some of the biblical data. So more on his person, who he is, from the Scripture, and then turn to his all-sufficient work. So the two themes of exclusive, unique Lord and Savior, all-sufficient work. And there are some then chapters on the atonement, and trying to argue, not only a Reformation view, which was penal substitution at the atonement's heart and core, but also tried to show that biblically as well. And then as we get to the end of the book, it deals with, all right, here is Christ's exclusivity, all sufficient. How did that show up in the Reformation? What were the debates there? And how does that show up in our contemporary day in terms of pluralism? So the book, as you work through through it gives a biblical theological defense of Christ's exclusivity, all-sufficient cross, all-sufficient work that he does for us, and arguing that that's what must be maintained not only in the Reformation period, but today in the 21st century as well with the challenges that we face.
Very good. We're talking to Dr. Stephen Wellham, author of the new book, Christ Alone, The Uniqueness of Jesus as Savior, What the Reformers Taught and Why It Still Matters. It's an excellent work on a perfectly wonderful theme. We encourage you to get a copy and read and enjoy. Steve, congratulations on your new book, and thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much.